Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper. This week, I spent a lot of time over to Lake of the Ozarks. I'm at the 2024 LOZ Fish Camp. And there's people who've come in from about 14 different states. We've got some anglers here. We've got some riders here. We've got some products people here. We've been having a great time. But I spent the morning out on the lake with Tim Ponder. He's from Iberia, Missouri, right here close to home. Tim, it's good to have you on your own program.
It's good to be here.
Hey, we've had a great time this morning, but you're kind of a local boy, man, and made it good in the crappie fishing world in your lifetime. How long you been crappie fishing, Tim?
Since I was big enough to hold a rod.
That's been a few years ago.
It's been a few years, yep.
Well, you grew up right in the back door of Lake of the Ozarks.
That's right, about 30 miles away.
Well, that gave you a lot opportunity to get over to the lake, I guess.
Yes, it did.
So were crappie always the number one fish for you?
Crappie and catfish, yeah.
Oh, catfish, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of catfish at Lake of the Ozarks. In fact, I got to see a huge one yesterday, about a 40-pound flathead that a guy put in the boat, and that was pretty interesting to watch a guy land a 40-pound flathead on a crappie rod.
Yep.
Took a while. Well, when did you first start getting into kind of the competitive world of crappie fishing?
I guess back about in 2000. My neighbor, John Mason, bought into Crappie Masters with Paul Alpers, and that's how I got to know Paul. I fished the 2004, the 2007, and the 2010 Crappie Masters National Championships. We about in the middle of the pack every time, but I enjoyed doing it and love competitive fishing and love the camaraderie of the sport. It's there's nothing like it.
Oh, absolutely. Get any fraternity of guys or gals that got a common interest, man, and particularly it seems like outdoorsmen are just very enthusiastic about what they do. Well, today we're, of course, participating in this 2024 LOZ Fish. Was it Catch? Clean?
Catch, clean, and cook.
Cook, yeah. Boy, we got some of that cooking last night. In fact, did you win that competition?
I won the competition
last
night.
Well, that didn't surprise me a bit. Remember what, how my eyes lit up and I picked your fish up and took the first bite of it? I knew there's something very distinctive about that batter, and I figured it out pretty quick, and bingo, you did win it, and that don't surprise me at all. And I didn't even get to be one of the judges.
Yep.
I didn't quite understand that because, you know, I am known as the Gravel Bar Gourmet. But hey, congratulations on that win.
Well, thank you.
Put another feather in your cap, you know. But here we are this morning out on the lake, and you found quite a few black crappie this morning. And hey, you had a particular jig that you were really fond of this morning.
Yeah, I use a 2-inch Southern Pro curly tail, these black crappie love pink.
That was a little surprising.
Yeah, these black crappie in this lake, they love pink. Pink and chartreuse. You use a white jig with a pink head. You'll catch a lot of good black crappie with that color.
Well, it worked out this morning. And, of course, you know how crappie can be as finicky. But it just astounded me how many shad, balls of shad, big balls of shad, yeah, we were seeing and fished all around them. You found fish everywhere we went. Now, they finally got a little closed mouth, but, hey, that's to be expected, I guess.
Yeah, that's part of the core.
Well, let's talk about is it the National Crappie League?
Yeah, we got the National Fishing League. National Crappie League and National Bass League is subsidiaries of the National Fishing League.
Well, that's and you're, I guess, part owner in that.
Yes, sir.
Well, boy, how'd that come about?
Well,
that's a dream come true for a lot of people.
It is. It's a dream job for me. I mean, they say you're not working. If you love what you do, you're not working. And I love what I'm doing. So I enjoy what I do.
Well, I'm sure you do. You run all over the country. Do you get to fish too since you're
not a lot. I get to see a lot of good fish and met a lot of really good folks. All of our competitive anglers are great guys. I've made friends from the East Coast all the way down into Texas, and some really good guys in Mississippi that I've come really be really good friends with in Tennessee, and just all over. Great people, great group of guys.
Well, I know there's pretty good crappie fishing in most of the country, but hey, if you had to choose a part of the country that's your favorite, where would you go?
Well, my favorite lake's Truman Lake.
Boy, that's a dandy.
But from what the anglers are saying, Lake Eufaula in Oklahoma is getting to be one of the top lakes in the country for crappie, for size and numbers.
Wow. Well, I know you've got a tournament coming up here on Lake of the Ozarks and not too far in the future. Tell me about that tournament.
Well, it's October 12th. It's a Division One tournament. The Division One is our semi-pros. If you're a guide or if you've won, any one given team has won more than $10,000 in the last 2 years, you can't fish it. It's for the everyday working guy.
Gotcha.
And it is a qualifier for a national championship, which is in Tartas Lake in March of next year. And that's going to be a great, great tournament. We're not only going to have the three-day national championship, we have a big expo coming alongside of it, and I believe it's going to be a really good show.
Boy, it sounds like it. Well, I know. Now, does the Crappie League, do you have sponsors of the Crappie League?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have national sponsors. We have Happy Hollow Outdoors is our headline sponsor. We have Slider Jigs, Charlie Brewer Sliders, they're a great sponsor. We have several sponsors around. O'Reilly Automotive is one of our national sponsors.
There you go. O'Reilly, boy, they're into the outdoors. I hear ads from them all the time. But of course, Charlie Slider, Charlie Brewer and the Slider Company, they've been around for a long time too.
Yes.
I met Charlie last year. He's quite a gentleman. I told him, I said, I thought you were one of my childhood heroes. And we are the same age, Brackley, you know.
Yeah. They have a great product. I mean, they've been around for years, and they've been in the business for years. And one of my go-to baits, you know, if that slider's a great bait. It's a good pitching bait. It's a good, you can cast it. You can do anything with it. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you've been right here on the Lake of the Ozark and being associated with the Crappie League. I know it keeps you busy working, but do you get time to sneak over to the lake still yet and get a little fishing in?
Every now and again. Not as much as I'd like to, but every now and again I do.
Well, a guy has to have some crappie fillets once in a while.
Every now and again, yep.
Well, I suspect we'll have some more tonight. I think there's a second competition. Now, you've got a plan up your sleeve to beat them again tonight?
Well, Mike's going to throw a twist in it tonight. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's got a twist he's going to throw in it, and we're going to find out what happens here.
Well, Mike Jones is pretty good for that. He's a great boater out of Mississippi. I first met Mike Jones several years ago at one of his events down Lake Washington in Mississippi, and I keep telling him, man, you're like Santa Claus. You're everywhere. And he said, well, I am Santa Claus.
Yeah, that he sure is. And I haven't known Mike as long as you have, but when I met Mike, it just clicked. He and I became instant buddies. I mean,
I think Mike has done that with hundreds and hundreds of people over the years, and I was really tickled to see him put the event on. But he kind of closed up his bait shop, I think, down there in Mississippi, and he's turned the country now putting these camps on.
Yep.
And I never seen such a list of sponsors as he has for this event. I mean, there's dozens and dozens of them.
Oh yeah.
So it's sure been a grand event. I've met some new outdoor riders here, of course, some new crappie fishermen and guides, and man, it's just been a ton of fun. I hope this is not the last one he invites me to. So I'm working really hard, you know, trying to keep my job.
Oh yeah. I'd say this is the first of many for you.
I expect so. I've known Brad Wigman for a long time. We've been in the Missouri Outdoor Communicators together for many, many years. Think an awful lot of him, and he's working hand in hand with Mike Jones to promote these functions. And, you know, crappie fishing is something that really appeals to a lot of people, but also appeals to families. You know, we sit right here at Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody thinks of it as a tourist destination, and it is, but this is a fine, fine crappie fishing lake, and you can catch them here all year round.
All year round. You can catch them I've crappie fished this lake for many, many years, and you can come in the middle of winter and catch them, and you can catch them in the middle of summer. You just got to know where to catch them, where to find them.
You bet. Now, you bring up a good point there. You got to know where to catch them, and always encourage people, particularly if you're coming out for a vacation, you're doing all the fun stuff, but you want to take a day or two to fish, you want to catch a fish, be sure and hire a guide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got some good ones here on this lake. We got Terry Blankenship, Jack Uxa. There's several good guides here on the lake, but those would be, if you're going to come here crappie fishing, those would probably be the two top that I would recommend.
Absolutely. I've heard those guys' names for a long time, and I've fished with Jack a number of times over the last couple of decades, and Jack just tickled me pink, you know.
Yeah.
I'm usually, you saw how I work this morning. I try to get all the material I can.
Yeah.
When I'm out on a trip with a guide, and Jack and I will usually run out catch the crappie, you know, and he'll say, do you want a bass fish? I said, well, has a cat got a climbing gear, you know? And yeah, we'll go bass fish for a little while. But I try to get those photographs and video and the work done. And Jack asked me one time, he was catching bass, pretty nice bass, just right and left. And he said, why don't you put that camera down, man, and fish for a little bit? So he handed me a rod. I made one cast, caught a 4.5-pound bass. I said, I'm done. I'm going back to filming.
I'll tell you something about Jack. A lot of people don't know. He is the best piranha guide on Lake of the Ozarks.
Piranha guide.
Yes, sir. He's the best piranha guide on Lake of the Ozarks. That's just kind of an inside joke me and him have here.
Oh, well, I did hear a rumor that he'd caught one in Lake of the Ozarks.
Now, Monster Quest came to Lake of the Ozarks several years ago, and they had rumors of people catching piranhas. So they hired Jack to guide him and to guide them and take them around to all of the what they thought were the hot spots, I aggravate him every time I see him about it. So,
yeah, absolutely. I'll have to bring that up next time I see him. Well, you know, we've been talking about crappie, but Lake of the Ozarks also a tremendous fishery for largemouth bass, Kentucky bass,
yes sir,
and something near and dear to both our hearts is old blue catfish,
yes sir.
Well, what's the best way to get after them here on the Lake of the Ozarks?
Well, I drift or pull baits. I'll put the trolling motor down, pull baits behind me at slow speed. A lot of times those fish want that bait moving, and you'll drag through schools of hundreds and hundreds of fish. And when you start seeing those fish on that locator, get ready because you're going to get a bite.
Wow.
You put a bait in front of a blue catfish, it's going to hit it.
Of course, nothing like a cut shad.
That's right. Yeah. Cut shad. And right now, there's millions and millions of shad about 2.5 inches long. And a lot of times when that's all I can catch, I'll take two or three of those and thread them on a hook.
Uh-huh.
And I always put my weight below my bait. And I suspend that bait about 1.5 feet over the top of that weight and keep a tight line and keep dragging it. And you keep that bait off the bottom and those fish, they can't resist it.
Wow. Real catfish, a lot of people be astounded. It was a few years ago, still the most popular fish in the state of Missouri, more catfishmen than any other type of fisherman. And there's a reason for that. You know, those catfish taste pretty good on a plate.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah, we had a little bit last night, and I think you cooked them.
I cooked them. I did.
Absolutely. You're going to do that again tonight? You need to do that just for me, you know.
Well, if we can catch catfish, I'll sure cook it.
All right. Well, Tim, take just a couple of minutes here in the last part of the segment and tell us a little bit more about the Crappie League, how people get in touch with you guys if they want to join, watch, whatever.
Okay. Well, we're the National Fishing League, National Crappie League, National Bass League. Paul Alpers and myself are co-owners. We have another part owner in this is Redneck Adventures out of southern Louisiana. They come along, they do all of our filming, they do our television. You can watch us on Roku, you can watch us on Fire Stick through Redneck Outdoors and Mid-South Broadcasting. Our shows air on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Tuesday night on Mid-South Broadcasting.
Well, that's plenty of opportunity to watch. Well, I want to thank you once again, Ponder, for taking me out on the lake today. Caught some fish, had a good time.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward tonight when I get to eat some more of those good catfish and crappie that you're cooking up.
Absolutely.
And good luck. That'd be two feathers in your cap if you win again tonight. I say your chances are pretty good.
I'd say so. Well, I don't know. We got some pretty stiff competition. Them boys were old Charlie, he was blackening that crappie, and I figured that'd win.
I thought you had to run for your money.
Yep.
With that one, but all of them were good.
Yes, they were.
All of them were good. Well, we're going to take just a short break here, folks, but don't go away. I'll be right back. I'm Bill Cooper with Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Drury Outdoors, and you're listening to Living the Dream Outdoors Podcast with Bill Cooper and Hunter Heineman.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Heineman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, and I've spent the week down at Lake of the Ozarks at the 2024 Lake of the Ozarks Fish Camp. It's been a pretty exciting group of people here this week, but right now, I've got the Chasteens here. That's Easton Chasteen, who's 13 years old?
Yep.
Wow. Young man from Inola, Oklahoma. He's got mom with him. Is she your cheerleader?
Yeah, pretty much.
This is Andrea. Great to have you guys on the program. And I tell you, Easton has had one exciting morning here. He came down, I guess, specifically to compete in a hand-tied jig competition.
Yes.
And I got to be the judge. One of the judges, it's, man, that was a tough job. I'm not sure I want to do that again. Pretty good jig tires here. But Easton, you've been tying jigs for how long?
About a year and a half.
What got you into the jig tying business? Now, you're selling jigs here today, too.
Yeah.
And doing quite well from what I can see. So what got you into that business?
Yeah, my dad, he's been a fisherman his whole life and pretty much all my family has. He saw some feather jigs, and everyone was saying those are the new things, so he wanted me to start tying them.
He wanted you to start tying them?
Yep.
Now, what do you think was the reasoning in his head that he wanted you to tie jigs?
Free labor.
That is one sharp kid.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up on a cotton farm. You know, my dad started working me hoeing cotton when I was 6 years old. I thought that was pretty cool going out there with the big guys for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
I took off to the house. Dad said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going home. No. I was 6 years old and kept me out there 10 hours. But, you know, obviously you've grown up in an outdoors family and you guys hunt and fish and do it all, I think. And mom's actually a taxidermist, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, do you get to help her a little bit as well?
Yeah, I skin out some of the euros and prep some of the forms.
Really?
Mounts, yeah.
So this young man's developing some skills.
He is, yeah. He does a lot of my grunt work.
Well, you got to start somewhere, right, Mom?
That's right.
Well, I got to hand it to you. I'd say you're a pretty fortunate young man to live in a family, an outdoor family like this, and be exposed to the things you've been exposed to. But, you know, you kind of have to reach down inside yourself, man, to have enough nerve to come and compete in a competition like this.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly, I mean, you look the rest of that crowd, they're probably started 40 or 45 years old, all the way up into their 70s, I would say. You know, I'm a judge and I'm 75 years old. So there's a generation gap or two between you and me.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little bit. But, hey, it only seemed like yesterday I was 13 years old. And I was eat up with the outdoors by that age as well because, well, I lived so far out in the country. We were so poor. We hunted and fished because it put meat on the table, yeah. You know. And, of course, that was our source of recreation, too. If I got out of cotton field, I was heading to the bayou that ran through our farm right out of the Mississippi River. And we hunted there as well. We did a lot of coon hunting up and down those bayous. But, Easton, do you have friends back home that do any of the same similar stuff?
Yeah, a lot of my friends. One that ties flies, his name's Jake.
Really?
He goes fishing. He's on the skeet shooting team in school with me.
Awesome. Now, is that an FFA team by chance?
Yeah, it's an FFA.
Awesome. I got to tell you this, too. My senior year in high school in the state of Missouri, I was president of the largest FFA chapter in the state of Missouri.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and FFA, I think, is just a tremendous program. But we didn't have a shooting program back then. But it's pretty incredible. You know, Bass Pro Shops is one of the sponsors of today's program. And I wrote for Bass Pro for about 5 years. But in some of my research, I discovered that Johnny Morris, you know, he's a very gracious man that hands out money to a lot of different programs. And this has probably been 20 years ago better. But I got my hands on a list of things that he donated to, and there were like 250 different organizations. Mm-hmm. But I was so impressed to find out that, I don't know if he still does it, probably does, but Johnny Morris provided the trophies at the National FFA Convention every year.
Oh, wow.
Now, that is pretty, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Well, we're not here to talk about me and Johnny Morris. We want to talk about you, Easton. But I was kind of eavesdropping a while ago and listening to you tell about some of the adventures you've been on. And at 13 years old, you've already killed, of course, whitetails and mule deer.
Mule deer and elk.
And elk.
Yeah.
Wow. So do you turkey hunt?
Yeah, I've killed turkeys for.
Oh, now that's my absolute passion. I've killed 105 of those rascals, you know. And I've changed my philosophy about turkey hunting, though. You know, I remember my young days, I'd hear turkey gobble a mile away. Man, I'd double time over there. I was hustling over there. Now I might walk halfway and sit down and call. If he calls, if he comes, that's a good thing. If he don't, that's fine, too.
Yep.
But what an incredible day it's been here for you and your mom. You know, you got a beautiful booth set up over here. And, boy, I got to look at those beautiful jigs that you tied. And I thought, man, this guy's having a good day. And then Mike Jones, the MC and the organizer of this big event, he calls, can't remember the guy's name, but called, he, I guess, owns the National Crappie League, come up and they brought you up in front of everybody. Did you see his face kind of blush a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you bet. Mine would too. But I think we're all sitting there and our mouths just fell open with what this gentleman did. I'll let you guys tell that story. What happened up there?
Yeah, he took me up there. Said he was going to give me a lifetime membership to that.
The National Crappie League.
National Crappie League.
Wow, that's quite a gift in itself, but that's just part of it.
Yeah.
And then he invited me on one to Grenada.
Yeah.
And competition in Lake of the Ozarks.
He didn't just invite you. You got an invite to fish those competitions, didn't you?
Yeah.
Wow. Is he going to let you choose who you get to fish with?
Yeah.
Wow. Man.
I don't know if Dad's going to let him choose.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, you're having Christmas in September here.
Yeah, for real.
But I think you get the gist of the idea. You know, we're kind of an old crowd here. And, you know, participation in hunting and fishing, both in America, less than 4% of Americans hunt anymore. And that's kind of scary to us people that are in the business and out here that just absolutely love it. I think it's like 16% of Americans fish. But you get a crowd of old guys like this. I don't want to call the ladies old, you know, but there's some ladies here as well. But have to be careful. That's politically correct, you know.
Yeah.
But when we get a youngster that comes in among us, first of all, brave enough to do it in the first place, you know, but they're interested in what we're interested in, and we in our lifetimes, we've seen so many things happen. I know in the state of Missouri, I can remember when, you know, you didn't hear about deer or wild turkeys, and there certainly wasn't any in the agriculture area of the Boot Hill of Missouri where I was raised. But with the 1/8 of 1% sales tax that everybody pays here in the state of Missouri, we've built probably the wealthiest conservation department in the whole United States and just had tremendous changes in the game and fish populations, you know. And so we want to preserve that. And when we come across a young person like yourself, man, we just jump all over it.
Yeah.
Because first off, you know, you've demonstrated a tremendous work ethic. And, hey, that's what it takes in this life to make it, you know. And then you've expressed an interest in the outdoors. You're working hard at it. You got your own jig line going. You making any money?
Yeah, a little bit.
I bet you got a real shot in the arm from today, because I know I stopped by and bought some of your jigs. I've seen some of your old guys drifting by too and picking them up. And we just love supporting something like this. But, Easton, have you made any plans for the future? Where do you see this going, or what's your dreams for all of this?
Dream is to do something with guns.
With guns? Yeah. Wow.
But my only passion bigger than fishing is guns.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting. Well, I got to ask you, what's your favorite caliber then?
Favorite caliber? 444 Marlin, 30-06.
Wow, 440 Marlin. 444?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I've ever even shot one of those, you know. I shot thousands of rounds through an M16. Does that count? Every people shooting back, though. what did you kill your elk with out?
Ruger 300 Win Mag.
300 Win Mag. That's a pretty good caliber, too, yeah. You know. Of course, I'm telling my age here. I grew up reading Jack O'Connor, you know, who made the 270 famous. In fact, he was one of the guys that really inspired me to become an outdoor writer, and I've been at it for, gosh, 55 years now. It's hard to believe. Written over 6,000 stories in my lifetime. Besides all, you know, gosh, worked with lots and lots of youth programs, and I got to say, boy, the outdoor kids that I've dealt with in my life are still some of my favorite people on the face of the earth, because, you know, that they have to learn not only skills very quickly, but whether they learn it out of a book or they learn it from rubbing elbows with people, and they develop an ethic that is extremely important, of course, in the hunting world and in life as well. Yep. Hey, I would bet money on you that you're going to be very successful in your lifetime, because you've set a base for yourself, you know. You've got it done. You got good support from mom, and I assume from dad too.
Yep.
Absolutely. Boy, you're living the dream, you know.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of guff from your buddies and your friends?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah. A little jealousy factor maybe there, you know, the things that you get to do. But do you fish as well? Yeah. Obviously do. You tie jigs.
Yeah.
What's your favorite fish to catch?
Bass are fun.
You bet they're fun. I like anything that swims.
Yeah.
Well, Mom, let's talk to you for just a minute here. You've got Wild Skies Taxidermy. Say that five times fast. And how long have you been working as a taxidermist?
This is my fifth year doing taxidermy.
Fifth year. Well, what inspired you to go into taxidermy?
Well, I worked in corporate America for quite a while.
Bummer, dude. And,
yeah. When Easton was born, I continued to work. And when he started school, we were at a point where I could stay home and I wouldn't have to miss plays and classroom activities,
absolutely,
and things like that. And I stayed home for about 16 months and I got bored. And my husband, we're an outdoor family, and he said, why don't you start taxidermy? It's something you can do, you know, here at the house. We're already familiar with it. Why don't you go do some classes? And that's just how it started. I started in a corner in his shop, and he decided it was too messy. So we built me my own shop, and we've just been trucking along ever since.
Wow. That is quite a story. So what does dad do for a living?
He's a machinist. He works at one of the big machine shops near our house.
Really? That's pretty incredible. Hey, I have a lot of respect for machinists because my wife, believe it or not, is a trained, certified electrician and machinist.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. She was an engineer at a power plant for many, many years. Yeah. Very technical mind. She just kills me, you know. I mean, we have a little electrical problem at the house. I know enough about electricity just enough to be dangerous, you know. So Diane takes care of all that. But I mean, now I've ran 19 kids and young adults through my home in 42 years. And we had one night, one of Diane's sons had some friends show up in an old car, you know, and boy, it's just running terribly and everything. Diane goes outside. These boys are trying to work on the car. She said, all you boys just need to back up. In fact, why don't y'all just go in the house? She gets all their tools in about 30 minutes. They had the wires backwards crossed. In about 30 minutes, she had it running like a sewing machine. All kinds of great skills out there. But, man, it has been an absolute pleasure to meet you guys. And he said, I got to tell you probably don't even think about this, but you've been a real inspiration here to all of us, and particularly, you know, I'm 75 years old, and I look at guys like yourself. I'm just a little bit jealous, you know. I think about where I was when I was 13 years old. Man, you're light years ahead of where I was and a lot of kids were. But, you know, you're looking at a lot of old guys here today that have spent their life in the outdoors, and they have built on their dreams. Hey, now they're dreaming about young folks like yourself, just hoping this stuff continues.
Yep.
So you got a big weight on your shoulders, young man.
Yeah.
We're depending on you.
Yep.
And you've got a great start. And, Mom, tell people how they can get a hold of you, either for the taxidermy business or for the jig business.
Okay. Probably the easiest way is on Facebook. My Facebook is Wild Skies Taxidermy, and Easton's is Easton's Jig Co. And that's the easiest way to reach either one of us, probably. Just send us a message on Facebook.
Okay, folks. Hey, be sure get a host of Easton Chastain for these jigs. I'll tell you what, he's a talented young man putting out some great products. I got me a pocket full of them today. And get a hold of Andrea for that taxidermy work. Well, Easton, Andrea, man, been a great pleasure to have y'all on the program. And folks, the Chastains, myself, Bill Cooper, we are living our outdoor dreams. Yep. We encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your dreams as well. I'm Bill Cooper.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, the Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, The Fallen Outdoors, Ledco Sinkers and Lure Company, Turnbow Outdoors, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Big Ed's Guide Service, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, On the Hook TV, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, Spare Rib Inn in Steelville, Missouri, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog. the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.